The fourth of 12 travelers just arrived in El Paso in maquette form. That is a small clay model of what will be the fourth monumental sculpture of the 12 Travelers Project. And I have the pleasure of speaking with John Cheryl Hauser, the sculptor of the 12 Travelers Project from his home in Santa Fe. Welcome, John. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Hey, Monica. Nice talking to you. Thanks for the opportunity.
I'm delighted that you were able to make time. And this is always an exciting event when the maquette appears and we are able to visualize what will be the finished product. Tell me about the process. Where does it go from here? And when will we see the finished bronze of Don Benito Juarez at the Pass of the North?
The maquette is I think people consider it sort of a preview, you know, which is what it is, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much more than that, too, because all the problems of doing the large monument have to be resolved at a small scale first.
Yes.
So really, like one art lawyer told me once, he's from New York, he said that 90% of the work is in the maquette, and mm-hmm. he's right. That's true.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize it. So we have the maquette, bring it down, it will be ready to be enlarged. And we'll do that with computer and laser.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of good companies that do that, so it'll be quick. And it'll give a form and styrofoam of the finished statue. And it will require maybe a quarter of an inch layer of clay on top of it.
Ah, okay.
And so that's what we're going to do the modeling on. But most of the work that we've done will already be transferred to a larger size, but it will be just leaving just a little skin that we need to put the, but that will give us enough to give it the character and develop the modeling and give it artistic form.
Let me step away from the process for a moment to ask you about the idea. When and how did the idea for this piece, Don Benito Juarez at the Pass of the North, when did it strike you?
There was a prelude to that, too, because long before the 12 Travelers was not even an inkling in my mind. I was painting in Mexico. I was living in Mitla during that period. It was in the early 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And some friends came down. They flew down a little plane. They were from Tucson. And I spent a couple of days with them. And on one of those days, we took a trip up to Oaxaca City and then over up into the mountains and to the little town of San Pablo Guelatao, which was a small Aztec Indian village.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the birthplace of Benito Juarez.
Ah, yes.
He was born there on March 21st, the spring equinox in 1806. He was a sheep herder. His mother died. He was a sheep herder with his uncle and taking care of the flock. And anyway, when he was 12 years old, he showed a precocious intelligence from a very young age. And his uncle recognized that. When Benito was 12 years old, he left home, and he walked 30 miles to the town of Oaxaca City, barefoot probably with a gourd full of water and nothing else, but he had a sister that lived there, and so he finally found her, and he was able to stay with her for a while. Eventually, he was sort of taken in by a bookbinder. The bookbinder also was impressed with Benito Juarez, his young boy, and who always had a book under his arm, and helped him with his education and helped him get him in a position so he could continue with it. So that was a great beginning for Benito Juarez. So anyway, when I was in the little town of San Pablo Guelatao, I was sitting on a bench there, and a little Indian boy about 12 years old hurried by. And I just had a flash. I thought, that's Benito Juarez.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the Zapotec Indian and Benito Juarez was a full-blooded Zapotec, too. So, the, mm-hmm. you know, some features were similar. And the little kid just really reminded me so much of the man who became president of Mexico, Mexico's greatest president. So I always thought it was just one of those curious little ironic things that happens in life. And it wasn't until we got into the 12 Travelers, and even when we really got into far enough into the 12 Travelers project, to realize that one of the people we wanted to commemorate in this or call attention to in this project would be Benito Juarez.
Yes.
Who was at the Pass of the North.
Mm-hmm.
He was there from between 1865 and 66 for 9 months. And most people don't know that, you know, and the source of the town of used to be Paso del Norte, it finally was renamed in his honor, so it became Ciudad Juarez.
Yes.
But anyway, so he's a great figure that we've had here at the Pass of the North. And during all those months that when he was here, that was during the French invasion.
Yes.
Which is why he was forced to leave Mexico City. But he refused to ever consider going across the river into the United States. He did not want to be an exile from his country. In fact, he said that if the French came, he said he would climb up to that high mountain in Juarez there, and he would die in the cold, you know, rather than leave the Mexican soil. So fortunately, that didn't happen. But I'm sure he would have done it. An interesting thing is also that he had a great rapport with Abraham Lincoln, and they greatly admired each other. And there was a period in the life of Benito Juarez when Santana took over Mexico City, and he exiled Juarez.
Yes.
Juarez had been a law professor, and he was also governor of Oaxaca. But anyway, he was exiled, and he went to New Orleans, where he rolled cigars for a while. And it was during that period that he also got to witness the evils of slavery, and he was also experienced racism. And he had to adhere to the curfew laws for colored people, you know, so-called. And so, anyway, he never forgot that. And years later, when Civil War was going on and Lincoln was having such a difficult time, Juarez contacted him, and he said if there were any blacks that could seek amnesty or seek asylum in Mexico, you know, they were very welcome. And they would be given amnesty and help to get a job and whatever they needed, regardless of any criminal record or anything that they had in their past.
He's an amazing figure. I am not by any means a well-studied historian, but I am fascinated by reading up, and you've made a marvelous selection here. I believe he ended up serving 5 terms as president of Mexico and is certainly still held in such high regard for La Reforma, as it is called. Now, the process by which you have selected the first 4 travelers, you tell me about how do things rise to the surface as possible subjects for this 12 travelers?
Well, since I was the one that sort of came up with the idea, and the city is really not taking a part in it now, so, you know, it's sort of up to me and the 12 Travelers Board, and I confer a lot with my brother, the historian Nick Hauser.
Yes.
Who's probably more versed in El Paso history than anybody, period, I'm pretty sure. This is a project that covers 400 years of history.
A lot to choose from.
Mm-hmm. But it's history that has had an impact on the development of the Southwest.
Yes.
So that's the criteria. You know, we never were set up to commemorate heroes or anything. We were trying to focus on the history and what that history actually, how it impacted the region and changed it in certain ways that we still feel today.
Well, there are powerful figures in any countries or areas history that you have to acknowledge good, bad, and indifferent to as far as...
It's the history.
Exactly,
and
yes.
God didn't make the history moral. You
know, yes,
It just happens.
Well, for anyone who's not familiar with the 12 Travelers Project, the very first traveler is Fray Garcia de San Francisco, founder of the Pass of the North. And this figure of the... It's a 14-foot-tall Franciscan missionary who is right in Pioneer Plaza downtown, pretty much across the street from the Plaza Theater. So that was the first one in 1996. And then was the second traveler was the equestrian, the largest, in fact, 36-foot-tall equestrian bronze in the world, which is now installed near the airport in a kind of a roundabout location. Then we have the third traveler, the McGoffin family, Santa Fe Chihuahua Trail Monument, depicting Susan Shelby McGoffin, who at the age of 18, she is depicted writing in her diary, which turned out to be a real literary gem chronicling this area. She's sitting on her travel trunk with her dog Ring by her side.
Right.
And that one is installed at the Keystone Heritage Park that's on Doniphan Drive. And then, of course, we have now the fourth traveler, Don Benito. And do you know where the final bronze will be installed?
We think and we hope that it's going to be at the Chamizal.
Oh.
And that's totally appropriate because
yes.
LBJ was in El Paso to dedicate a statue of the Chamizal Agreement was made.
Yes.
And at that time, there was a statue of Lincoln that was given to Juarez, Ciudad Juarez.
Yes.
And is in Chamizal on the other side.
Oh, what a perfect match.
Yeah, so the idea was that we would always have a statue of Juarez on this side.
Yes.
And that never happened. So it's something, the expectation has been put on hold and finally will be fulfilled, we hope.
Oh, yes. Do you have any idea on the length of time before the bronze could conceivably be completed?
That depends. You know, it could be probably within a year.
Wow, excellent.
Thing is that when we bring it down, it's going to be ready for enlarging, which means that we can make the mold and we can send the mold off to an enlarging company, and they will scan it and send us back an enlargement in foam. And so anyway, it can go very fast from that stage
forward. Oh, wonderful!
If we get the money to do it, you know, that's the question is that we need to have funds,
grants, and donations.
And so we'll be selling the maquettes, and we'll also be selling other little sculptures related to this work.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's good to know. Can people find information?
They can make free donations as well.
Excellent, yes. And I
they
suspect
will get credit.
That opportunity is at the 12 Travelers website, which is 12, the numeral 12travelers.com, which is the place to visit and find out all things 12 Travelers.
Before we go on,
I
never did tie in my experience with Benito Juarez
down
there.
Oh, well, pardon me. Okay, we've
with
got...
With the idea for the maquette and the monument. That experience in San Pablo Guillotá with where I saw the little boy go by and reminded me of Benito Juarez never left me. So when we finally began to think seriously of doing a Juarez monument as part of the 12 Travelers, I got the idea of combining Juarez when he was 12 years old and seeking an education with Benito Juarez, the president, who was in Ciudad Juarez during the French invasion.
Yes.
So there was a little boy with his educational aspiration and his potential, and here was the man whose potential realized as president of Mexico. I'm going to show both figures.
Yes.
On a bench, and Benito Juarez will be like he might have been seated in El Paso during the winter when the French had invaded, and he was concerned with what was happening in the country and what he could do about it. And on the other side of the bench is going to be this little boy, Benito Juarez, you know, many years before.
This is going to be really extraordinary in that it's not the typical standing on a marble base type of sculpture. There's a relational and very thoughtful quality to this.
It will show Benito Juarez concerned, weighing options.
Yes.
Thinking to himself, deciding, you know, what the situation is. You know, and he's animated, too. He's not just sitting there looking down with his head bowed.
Oh, I can't wait for El Pasoans to experience and enjoy this sculpture, as will visitors for many generations to come. My guest today, painter and sculptor John Sherrill Hauser, speaking with us from his studio in Santa Fe about the fourth figure in the 12 Travelers Project, Don Benito Juarez at the Pass of the North. Sure to be an extraordinary addition to El Paso. If you want more information on anything to do with the 12 Travelers Project, I encourage listeners to visit 12 Travelers. That's 12travelers.com. John, it's always a pleasure and an honor to speak with you.
Well, I appreciate the chance to speak with you, and I hope that we can gain some support and recognition and a better understanding of our history.
Absolutely.
Like this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Monica.